My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I mean, where else are you going to go to listen to an interview than a show that's able to amass that kind of content? Where else are you going to go?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Thanks, Dontrell.
That's a really good question, Dibs.
Yeah, Roxy.
Yeah. Yours are really good, though.
I can't believe you had Dontre Willis.
It's like Brock Purdy. Like, it's really good. I don't know about great.
Yeah. Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Brock Purdy. It's a little early to drop great on him.
By the way, D-Train didn't just come on the show. It was a buzzer beater on a Friday, and we didn't even know about it until there was... What we have about 14 minutes left in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. D-Train was like, I'm ready. And we're like, go. And then that was it. Like,
that's a great question.
Yeah.
It was like 5:45?
Oh, yeah. 5:50 and did the last like 8 minutes of the show with
okay.
Us. Yeah. So like we ended the whole Bay Bridge series with Dontrell Willis.
With a bang.
On Friday.
Yeah, the greatest. He's just.
He was phenomenal.
Always.
Like,
always.
I got done with the conversation, and I'm like, why is he not a bigger star in broadcasting?
Seriously.
Should be a bigger star.
I think we had him on a weekly in the nascent days, the early days of 95.7 The Game.
I was going to ask you about that, Dibs. Did he go on your show? Do you remember talking to him back then?
Rise Guys, yep. Absolutely.
Big Raiders fan.
Yeah?
He didn't like me even bringing it up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Too well, soon.
He brought it up. And then I started to go into, like, you know, why didn't you get a quarterback?
Oh, geez.
And he was like, I hear your Niner energy. I can feel your Niner. I see what you're doing. And he didn't want to talk about Devontae Adams and Netflix and all that. He didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Why draft a quarterback when you can draft a fourth tight end?
Exactly.
You know?
Are you taking a shot at Brock Bowers? You're not high on Brock Bowers?
I'm sure he's going to be great.
Oh.
So is three of their other tight ends.
Just listen to, if you listen to Lucas all week long, you can figure out what he's going to do in the draft.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just, I'm really here just to be a part of the group.
You're just here so you don't get fined?
Well, the expectations, you know, we can talk about this relative to the Niners. You know, I offered Niner fans a 12-5 year, and a lot of fans that I was seeing on my social media are already like, no, we should be better than that. For me, in fantasy football, I do not have expectations at that level. It'd be great to make the playoffs, and then, heck, who knows? You make the playoffs, like, you barely got in.
I barely got in.
And you ended up winning the whole damn thing.
I won the whole thing, which is exactly what I keep telling Giants fans. Just get in the dance.
I just go into a fantasy football season like this with my only goal is to really just enjoy the back and forth, the collegial environment, and not let the shoddy way that the league has run get me down this year. Not going to get to me
that
this year,
is,
Lucas.
That is the biggest milk and cookies answer I've ever heard. I'm just here.
No, I'm trying to be a better person.
You're like the Cal football of the fantasy
Thank
league.
Thank you. You're using my analogy like, right
exactly.
back at me.
Exactly. I just threw it right to you.
You know, if we can go out and beat Maryland, if we can get over, you know, we'll take down Maryland this year. We'll feel like we had a successful campaign.
Look at Grandy's face. He wants blood this year. He wants absolute chaotic blood.
I was just going to say, it's the wrong conference. Cal's in the ACC, not the Big Ten.
Maybe they can
beat
Wake Forest.
The idea was to pick just a random team, you know, a team that's never really that good. And when you're Cal,
Duke.
Honestly, for Cal, you're just hoping to beat UC Davis. If we can get by the Aggies
Take
in the
easy.
Opener.
Take it easy.
No, because that's not a guarantee now. It's not a game that you always win. Davis will sneak up on you now.
You better look out for Jaden Ott, one of the best running backs in the country there, Dibs.
That's right.
There you have it.
He can run the football. He can tote the rock.
This is so great.
He can.
Hey, Lucas, do you want to pay off your milk toast tease?
What were you talking about?
It was a really good tease. Thank you very much. And
so
yeah.
good that I had to bring it back up.
So good that we can't even remember it. Anyway,
not my show.
Go ahead.
Let's go back and hear what Fred Warner told Kay Adams one more time about Brock Purdy last week.
From day one, I've been a Brock Purdy fan, and I always will be. I think he's one of the best in the league, and soon he will be the best, undisputed, right? But, you know, practice, I'm not even about to talk about no practice. I mean,
right.
If people want to make something out of practice with interceptions and all that other stuff, listen, you obviously have never been in the NFL if you're out there writing stories about interceptions in practice. But like Debo mentioned, he's going against one of the best defenses in the league, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, it's all good. We're not worried about that.
That was about him throwing interceptions in training camp. I don't know if you caught the most eye-popping part of that answer, but he said that soon Brock will be the undisputed best quarterback in the league.
We did catch that, yes.
Okay, good.
We just did 20 minutes on it.
Well, he kind of moved on to talking about Caleb and all that. You know, we're circling back. It's what we're doing here.
Bring it back, y'all.
Yeah, thank you. Number one, I want the answer from you guys. What are the odds? You know, we have Patrick Mahomes, who is clearly the best quarterback in the league and has at least another 7, 8, probably 10 years of being the top of the line. What are the odds that any time in the near future, Brock Purdy can become the greatest quarterback in the NFL? Is that even remotely possible?
It doesn't seem like it. But we're also still very, very early. I mean, I would see, this is where the draftism part to me actually becomes a little bit relevant.
Well, this to me is where the whole conversation becomes really muddied, because if you look at just last year, he had statistically the best year. So just on quarterback alone, he last year statistically was the best quarterback in football.
That's a good point.
Now, the guy who won the Super Bowl is on a 6-year run, unlike one we've ever seen. So what does it really mean to be the best quarterback undisputed in football? Does it mean that you have the best stats? Does it mean you win the most? So that, for me, is the part I always have the toughest.
Here's what I would say.
The most difficulty getting past.
Yeah. If I'm starting a franchise right now, I want this guy leading my team just for one season. Like, the best quarterback,
okay.
I want him as my quarterback for one season.
And if I can answer your question, the odds are 1 in a million that Brock Purdy becomes that person.
Right.
Over the next 10 years, if you're going to throw every player into a hat and you get to draft your quarterback, he's not getting taken first.
No, I agree. And that's kind of what I mean by this is where the draft is in part. While it annoys the hell out of me and I think it's often ridiculous, this is where it does come into play. Because the only thing that I think we can unequivocally say about this at this time, Brock Purdy will never be the most physically talented quarterback in the NFL. I don't even see how that's possible. He's never going to have the same raw athletic ability of a Mahomes, of a Lamar, and now of a Caleb Williams. You know, Jaden Daniels, high hopes there too. He might get snapped in half. He's so small, but you know what I mean? Like, Lamar felt that way for a while too, and he's the MVP of the league. So it can work in ways that it didn't used to work because of the different rules. But what you said, Dibs, is kind of an interesting way to look at it. My secondary answer would be even more than 1 in a million, because even if Brock does become the best quarterback in the league, no one will acknowledge it.
Right.
No one will acknowledge it. And then that becomes subjective. I would love it, especially in football, if we found a new word. Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? I'd argue no. He's the most accomplished. His team has won the most Super Bowls. He's absolutely fantastic. But I am one of those who believes that, like, you know, maybe there are other people who could have been in the exact same situation who might have been able to put up a similar result. If Aaron Rodgers was on the Patriots for all of those years and then went to the Bucks for one, could he have done the same thing? Probably not, but maybe. Maybe.
Well, this is where
Peyton Manning, could he have done that?
This is where it gets into the muddy area for me, because the things that Tom Brady provided that team, leadership and all the rest of it, you know, taking less money and all these other things, and you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't strike me as being the same kind of guy as Tom Brady. They're different people. So how would the person, yes, his skill set is unbelievable. Aaron Rodgers can make all the throws, and he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the history of the game, but the personality fit might not have been there. So I do like what you said about best versus accomplished, because, you know, Patrick Mahomes might be both. He might be the best quarterback in football now, and he is the most accomplished among those currently playing. So he kind of threads the needle, but Brock Purdy might become one of the most accomplished quarterbacks of all time. He already has 4 playoff wins, which is more than most of the guys who are even playing right now in the NFL.
Well, that's actually a fun way to look at it. Okay, just right now, first of all, how do you quantify accomplishments as a quarterback?
It's in wins.
Okay.
Wins.
What kind of wins?
That's a great question.
Really, playoff wins, but to get playoff wins, you have to be pretty good in the regular season. That, for me, is accomplishments.
NFL quarterback playoff wins. All right. Most quarterback playoff wins.
Yeah.
Active quarterbacks. How many have more playoff wins than Brock Purdy? Active QBs.
I've gone through this before, and I think the number is 5?
Shoot. I'm having a really, really hard time getting the active. Here we go. Most QB. Okay, I got it. I got it. I got it! Yes!
You got it!
How many? What did you say? 5?
5 is the answer I had.
It's higher than that. It's higher than that.
Is it 6?
You want to try to just name them? Try to name them.
Well, Mahomes would be one.
The answer is 8.
8 active quarterbacks have more than 4?
Correct.
Okay.
That's, we're all in agreement there, right? Brock Purdy has 4 playoff wins. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. He is 4-2 in the playoffs. You give him the Philly loss and the Kansas City one, right? Okay. Go ahead.
Mahomes 8. Would be one, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is 1, yes.
The aforementioned Aaron Rodgers.
That's 2. And they are 1st and 2nd, by the way, current. Active QBs with more
Russell
playoff
Wilson,
wins.
I think, is still playing.
Russell Wilson is number 4. Okay. That is correct.
Figure Joe Burrow, he went on a run.
Joe Burrow has 5.
Josh Allen makes the playoffs every single year.
Josh Allen has 5.
Three
more.
My guy Joe Flacco is still active,
Very
I believe.
Very good. Joe Flacco has 10 playoff wins. That's number 3 on the active list. There are 2 more.
QBs with more.
And I'm going to look you in the eye right now and tell you, one of them you should really get, and then the other one is crazy, but you should also kind of really get.
It's got to be hanging there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Jared Goff has 5. That
he
is correct.
He has 5, okay.
He's got 5. There is one more active quarterback who has more playoff wins than Brock Purdy.
Been on a roll lately. See if I can keep this going. Man.
You're going to laugh your tuckus off when
it's
you...
It's not Dak, I know that. And I... is it...
It's definitely not Dak.
It's not Lamar Jackson either. It should be. That guy, all he does is lose, no matter what.
Dak and Lamar have... Together don't have more than Brock Purdy.
That's
How
awkward.
About that?
How about that? Matthew Stafford
is
put it on the
incorrect. Matthew Stafford also has 4.
Oh God, who is it?
Think hard.
I just
come
did.
On, man.
I was on a run.
Think out of the box, but think like, you know, right here.
Oh, the Josh Dobbs?
No.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy's
got more than four.
He's got five.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Garoppolo!
Does it count? Are they counting the ones where he just stood there and watched Tom Brady?
Yes. Yes. And they're counting like the ones where he just handed the ball off the whole time, too.
Right. Came in for a kneel down.
Yeah.
Those count. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, no, he doesn't get the ones where
play.
You have to start. You have to start the game. You know, not when you're watching Tom.
Okay.
But when you're just handing the ball off to Raheem Mostert the whole time, you get that.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow.
Yeah. So, by the way, just try this on for size. In this moment, if you freeze the list, Brock Purdy's next playoff win will put him in a tie for fifth place on the active list.
Yeah.
He's 23.
Yeah.
He's 23. So if we're going to start...
He just turned 24.
Okay,
but
whatever. Anyway, you just have a birthday? Yeah, good
sure.
for him.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Brock. Yeah. Like, if you want to talk about this in terms of accomplishments, then... You sort of suddenly get to a spot where you're like, Fred's absurd comment doesn't actually sound so absurd.
Well, it does because you're dealing with Patrick Mahomes, who is, you know, how many playoff wins does he have?
Well, okay, but if we
40?
If we remove the whole, like, he's going to be the unquestioned best and just said, like, because Fred could have, he wasn't asked a question there about Brock. He didn't have to say that. He could have just said, I don't think there's any offense taken if Fred Warner is just like, we feel like Brock Purdy is already one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and that's only going to be solidified over the next decade.
And just think about the company that he will keep with one more playoff win. You mentioned Russell Wilson. He is a Hall of Famer? Probably.
I think eventually, but he's in the conversation. He's descending.
Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Mahomes is in the Hall of Fame. Flacco is a little bit of an anomaly.
He's not a Hall of Famer, but
he's a guy who's played a ton. And who else would be ahead of him at that point?
Nobody. Those would be the four.
And the case is made then that he is among Hall of Fame caliber players who are still playing football today.
That's the arc of the people that are at five, except for Garoppolo. I guess Jared Goff would be kind of a head-scratching question mark there, but Josh Allen and Joe Burrow statistically are absolutely on that track, all still relatively young players. But look, I don't know where this roster is going to go over the next handful of years or whatever, but... That kind of leads me to the next point. And we wanted to rock this. This is also...
Really quick before you get to
go
it.
Go ahead.
Jimmy Garoppolo got credit for a postseason win in which he played two offensive snaps in 2014 for the Patriots. So really, he only has four playoff wins.
Why did he get credit for that?
I don't know.
He played.
It makes no sense.
No, you have to start to get the win. You have to start.
He's won four playoff games where he was the starting quarterback. 4-2 as a member of the Niners.
That's a weird list then. There's all kinds of people who have played in playoff games. They don't get a win for that.
He played two offensive snaps in a 45-7 Patriots win over the Colts.
Were they the first two snaps?
I don't think so.
Doubt it. Gutsy, though.
Yeah. Then he's only got four.
Yeah.
He's only got four. So move Brock up to eighth then on the list. He's tied for eighth. Not ninth.
Take that buzzer back.
Yeah, take the buzzer back.
Yeah, thank you.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Why would you give him a credit for that? If that's the case, I'm taking Brock's loss in Philadelphia off of his list.
There you go.
He did not play in most of it.
He started that game, though.
He did. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is this. That's why I get very confused when I hear people say, well, boy, Super Bowl or bust, because this window is closing. The Niners' Super Bowl window is closing. Kay Adams, up in Adams FanDuel TV, asked George Kittle about the Super Bowl window. Listen to this exchange.
What's your relationship with the window?
Like, window open
window.
Or closing?
Just like you want to win it with these guys.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
These are your brothers, so what's your relationship with the window?
A couple years ago, someone asked me about, is the window closing? I was like, if you guys are telling me it's closing, I guess.
To you, the window's half open.
I think that at any moment, you could just throw a chair through the window and just break it right open. Like, it is what it is. We have the guys on the roster that we have. And John and Kyle have done a great job about figuring out how to keep our best players on the roster, and I think they're going to continue to figure out those ways. And, hey, we lose guys every single year, and we figure out ways to bring other guys back. And so whatever happens, happens. And the thing is, for this year, it's like, why do I care what's going to happen next year? If we can get the job done this year, then next year will just take care of itself, and we'll figure out that problem next year.
Okay, he's got a lot of different stuff in there, because the thing at the end about, like, yeah, who cares about next year? We're doing this year. I buy that. But what he said right before that I find even more important, which is that he's saying the regime here has found a way to replace players. And that is an omnipresent thing that will always be true for every NFL team, every year, all the time.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me that, like, in our minds, we've decided, and I'll grant you that this is hard, but we've decided that when Kittle goes and Debo goes and Fred Warner goes, that's it. There's not going to be anybody good that replaces those guys. There's no way to do that, whether it be through the draft, free agency. The only thing that changes in my mind is it becomes just a little bit harder. All you have is a little bit less financial flexibility, because cap schmap, don't forget that now.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder than you're making it.
I think it's only a little.
I think it's a lot, because the difference between having these guys who you know are good or having those guys who you don't know are good. So right now you have good players and they're on your team, they know your scheme, and they're really good. And whatever happens after Debo and Brandon and Christian and George and Trent, when they all leave, you're right. You're going to keep playing football. You're going to have somebody who plays left tackle. You're going to have a tight end who probably wears a number in the 80s. Maybe he's a single-digit guy. I don't know. But he's going to be a blocker and a pass catcher. But will those players be as good as these players? That's the part that's hard.
Right, but I mean, we sat here when Joe Staley was about to retire. We sat here and went, the 49ers, they've got a left tackle problem.
They did.
What the hell are they going to do? And then all of the sudden, somebody hit the breaking news sounder, and nobody ever thought about Joe Staley again. I don't mean that. I'm sorry, Joe. You were great. You were great. But in 10 minutes, everyone was like, bye, Joe. Thanks for your career. We appreciate you. Why can't stuff like that keep happening?
It can.
That's my only point.
It's allowed to.
Let me give you an example, another example of the whole idea of, like, what's happening around a good quarterback. Where do you think the Buffalo Bills sit this year on the list in the Super Bowl odds?
Oh, they're further down than I think, but they're probably like 20 to 1, sixth on the list.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are tied for sixth on the list, plus 1,500.
Okay, Grandy?
Is that 20 to, what was it? Plus 1,500.
Okay. Yep.
They are tied with the Bengals and the Texans.
Okay.
They are not, and by the way, narrowly behind the Eagles and the Lions. They're right there. There's the Niners and the Chiefs, and then there's everybody else for that matter.
Yeah.
The Ravens are kind of.
The Ravens,
of,
yeah.
They're the clear number three. And then there's a bunch of just like whatever. But this is a team that is expected to be a top 10, maybe top 5 team in the NFL this year. Now, what did they just do with their receiving core?
Receivers go bye-bye.
They put them all in a bucket, and they dumped them out on the floor, and they made a new puzzle. And the receivers that are going to be running
bye-bye.
Around, there you go. There's receivers running around for the Bills this year. Nobody knows really anything. We've decided that Curtis Samuel is Debo Samuel light. I know Keon Coleman is the rookie. Is Khalil Shakir still there? There's your receiving core. Essentially, what the Bills just did in getting rid of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis is a poor man's version of if the Niners next year went, gosh, Debo or Brandon? Brandon or Debo? Tell you what, let's get rid of both of them.
They might.
And the world came back and went, we still think you're good. We totally, totally still think you're good. And the reason the world still thinks they're good is because people believe in Josh Allen. That's
right.
It. You have a franchise quarterback. We believe in you. And for whatever reason, I know it's early, but Brock is not there yet. He's not there yet.
Well, he won't be there until you see him do it without the talent that he's had around him.
Josh Allen
hasn't. People are going to hold against him.
But Josh Allen hasn't done it and hasn't gone nearly as far as Brock in the playoffs. But people believe it. In fact, Josh led the world in turnovers last year.
Yeah, but the years prior to that, when they didn't have a stupendous receiving core and he started to show that he was able to win games on his own, which is another one of those cliches that drives me crazy in football when you've got 11 men out there pulling on the same rope. But Josh Allen, it's more than just the draftism. He looks the part more than Brock Purdy does.
Well, of course. He's a physical freak.
Yeah. He can run it. It's hard to bring him down and all the rest of it. The kid out of Fireball. So I think that Brock has a lot of biases against him, and part of it is Shanahan, the play sheet, and the team around him.
Sure.
So, and that's where so many people are glomming on to last night, like you were saying before. See, this is Brock without stars around him. He's ordinary.
Christy texted in with an interesting point. What do you think about this? She said, Brock is not going to get the respect until Kyle cuts down on the run game.
Okay.
You can't have the number one running back in the league and then say your quarterback is the guy.
That's a fair point. And, you know, they threw it the 32nd most out of 32 teams, and that's just going to be the way it is. Kyle Shanahan wants it to be a 50-50 split. It's what he said on the TK show, the Tim Kawakami podcast. I was listening to it, and that's what Kyle wants. So that's going to be the way it goes, and Brock's probably never going to lead the league
right
in yards.
Yeah, like, by the way, I'm not running around looking for, like I'm Brock Purdy's personal ego coach.
Oh, you are.
No, I don't. I don't think he's the best quarterback in the league, and I don't think he ever will be. Okay, but could he end up being one of the most accomplished? I'd argue he kind of already is. And he's 23/4, whatever, when he ever had a birthday.
24.
He is?
Yeah.
When was his birthday?
December? He was born in December of 99.
Oh, wait. He's been 24 for that long?
Yeah, because I was looking for Bo Nix.
He's about to turn 25 during this season.
You know, you were talking up Bo Nix, and I was thinking, man.
Bo Nix is 38.
Well, he actually is 2 months younger than Brock Purdy.
Okay.
He's also 24, but it had me thinking about, because you said something about this year's rookie crop and how they actually might be some good players.
They really might
among
be
these quarterbacks, and I do think a large part of it is the maturity of a Bo Nix. You were talking about how, you know, the game's kind of slow for him and he's able to remain calm. And I was looking, he's 24 and he spent 3 years at Auburn. Then he went to Oregon. So these QBs with a lot of college experience, hint, hint, Brock Purdy, who played a ton in Iowa State.
Yeah, they can hit the ground running a little
bit. Exactly, because
sure,
they have more experience and then they're older people. And that's why I'm interested to see Michael Penix, who I think is older than Purdy and Bo Nix. He's probably...
Is he
25,
really?
I think.
I know he'd been around in college for a while. Michael Penix is also
24. Yeah.
Also 24.
So he's actually 3 months younger than Bo Nix.
Yeah, he turns in May. He'll turn 24.
But yeah, so I do think that...
Or turn 25, sorry.
The conversation becomes interesting for me around, like, accomplished. Is he the best quarterback? No, but could he be the most accomplished? Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's because he's on a winning team.
For sure. For sure, for sure. But in the end, yeah. What's up?
Sorry, never mind.
Okay. Grandy was waving at me. I know what was going on. Anyway, point being is there is a hidden thought when I hear people say that. The Niners are in their Super Bowl window and it's closing. I know you don't mean this, but what I hear when you say that, not you, Dibs, but anyone, when you say that, what I hear is you're not fully sold on Brock Purdy yet. And that's fine. I'm not even arguing that that's like, I'm not arguing against that. But that's what I hear when you say the Niners Super Bowl window is closing. What I hear there is some uneasiness about Brock Purdy on some level. Because what you're saying is he is a product of what's going on around him. We love the team that's around him. They are going to be getting older. By the way, the second hidden thing I hear, I don't trust Kyle and John to find new talent. That's what I hear. If I'm a fan of one of these other teams that's rocking a $55 million quarterback, I'm not talking about the window's about to close. I'm about, let's ride for the next decade. Let's see what happens. You think anybody in Green Bay is like, better do this now?
Well, Miami is another good example. You know, where they're going to be paying him a ton, and Cincinnati, same thing.
They just broke him off.
Cincinnati's not looking at it like, oh boy, well, we're paying Burrow now, so there goes our Super Bowl chance.
Yeah, Cincinnati's like, hey, T. Higgins, you're cool, but we'll see you later.
Yeah,
but we got Burrow. We find another receiver. That's all. You know, like, and that's the way I do. Like, I believe in Brock at that level. I think the Niners found their guy, which means the next 10 years should just simply be a rotation of what you're able to build around him. That will be challenging sometimes, not as challenging other times, but it should mean that you're relevant and at least in the conversation all the time, just like Lamar Jackson is, just like Josh Allen is, and Joe Burrow is. And Matthew Stafford, for example, that might be a better example. Like, that's someone who also only has 4 playoff wins.
Yeah.
But he's a really good quarterback, and when he stays healthy, his teams are a factor. Are they the favorite? Maybe, maybe not, but they're right there with as long as he's been with the Rams. When he was with the Lions, I don't know what the hell you do with all that.
Yeah.
But that's
where the pressure comes, and you look at, you know, Jordan Love, who's now getting mad money. He's paid in full. And so the pressure's been on their front office to surround him with weapons, and they've done it in the draft. And so you've got receivers and tight ends drafted, making relatively peanuts, and so you can build around it that way. And that's just what the Niners are going to have to do to keep this window open, because Kittle has got, what, he's 31 this year. And so the way he plays, you give him 2 to 3, who knows how many more years under contract, and McCaffrey's coming up on 30, and Debo and all the rest of it, and Trent's 37. You're going to have to replace him, and these guys have been so good that to replace these players at that same level is going to be difficult.
Yeah, like, y'all might be, I'm not even saying 100% that I'm right. Like, we saw Brock Purdy last year when Debo Samuel went out. Not as good.
Yeah, true.
Not as good, but also that's like a team thing. Like, the team was not as good, and the game plan changes and all of that. So, like, when you picture Brock Purdy playing without Christian McCaffrey, you know, because a lot of these teams we're talking about, they turn and burn at the running back position. Notice that.
Yeah.
The Ravens are like, all right, that's cool, Gus Edwards. See ya. That's cool, J.K. Dobbins. Your ACL keeps blowing out. Let's go get Derrick Henry this year. And Derek's going to play for another few years, whatever, he's on the other side of 30. You mentioned the Packers. Well, we're not paying Aaron Jones, but we'll grab Josh Jacobs, and we'll make it look like we're paying him, even though you should dive into that contract. They're not really paying him, and it's not a long-term commitment at all. And they will. They'll keep turning and burning on that. And by the way, the Shanahan name, that's what they've always done. Like, that's what's interesting to me when people are so, like, dependent on Christian McCaffrey. Kyle's dad was amazing at just being like,
oh, Landeskerry.
Whoever the Denver running back is, he going for 1,200 yards.
Mike Anderson.
Yep. Clinton Portis.
All those guys.
And then Terrell Davis became a Hall of Famer.
Off of 4 years.
And was drafted.
To your point about turn and burn.
And was drafted in what round?
I think the third or the fourth.
Was it? I feel like it was at least the third. Terrell Davis, draft. When were you drafted, Terrell? Terrell Davis.
Sixth round.
Yep. Hall of Fame.
Nah.
Hall of Fame.
I get that he's in the Hall of Fame, but doesn't deserve it.
Like, you know, people, and that's why, and here's the hill I'll die on when this conversation that was kind of a last year thing more than it is now, thankfully. But when people go, dude, if you had to play a month, let's say you had to play in November, either without Brock or without Christian, my God, I wouldn't even blink. Not even, I don't even have to think about that.
You play November. Brock.
No, you play November
Dobbsy.
Without.
You go to Dobbsy.
Purdy to Dobbs versus McCaffrey to, whether you want to call it Jordan Mason. Like, can you put another running back there and get 100 yards and win a football game? Zero question in my mind. Are you as good? No. But can you go 3-1 in November without Christian? I think so. Can you do it without Brock?
Sure.
No.
Absolutely. No.
Come on.
Absolutely.
You ain't scoring 20 points in any of those games.
Well, there was a stretch last year you didn't score 20 points with Brock Purdy. Three straight games, you were only able to muster 17.
Mm-hmm.
17 a game, so it's not
Christian
like he's an automatic 30.
Christian played in those
so
games.
So did Brock.
Exactly.
So did Brock.
Well, then it's kind of a punt of an answer. But
yeah,
Debo and Trent were out.
Exactly.
Yeah, so anyway,
as far as the window goes, I do like what George said about take a chair and throw it through that window because, you know, ultimately it comes down to the healthier quarterback. And if you believe that Brock Purdy is your franchise guy, you're going to pay him franchise quarterback money. It doesn't even matter what the number is. He's going to get it. And then you figure out what you have left to build your roster around Brock Purdy. At that point, it's going to be more incumbent on him to make the people around him better and elevate guys who are making less money than he is. Right now, it's the other way around. Not that they're elevating Brock, but you're playing with, you know, a tackle making 20-plus and two receivers who'll be making 20-plus and a tight end who signed a contract for $85 million. And so you do have a little bit of a luxury that you won't have in a couple of years.
No doubt about it, but I actually really believe that Brock can do that and at times has. I tell you this, if anybody, as you're getting ready for this season, if you're sort of feeling the doldrums of camp and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and injuries and whatever, Brock's out there playing by himself and going 2-for-6. If you're sitting there going, oh, this doesn't feel right and they better win this year, and if they don't, oh my God, they're going to have to pay Brock and it's all going to just start to go to hell. Go rewatch the drive against the Packers in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go.
It's a good little drive.
Go watch it, and I promise you, you will walk out of there and go, okay, that is somebody who's got the you-know-whats in the big moment. And people like Chris Conley are making amazing plays, and Brock's making plays with his legs and threading passes to Brandon Ayuk, who deserves a ton of credit for making the catch. But when you start to watch, even go to Cleveland, when Jake Moody misses the field goal, driving rain, terrible day, everything's awful, okay, take a breath, can you go get in field goal range? Go watch the game. Like,
struggles with a wet ball.
But not when he needed it most. He got a 41-yard field goal. Got him right where he needed to be.
Yeah, no good.
Like, no good. Wide right.
No good.
As George said when he walked off the field, that sucked.
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I do think he elevates people around him. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. But right now, he doesn't have to do it as often as he will when he's making $60 million and all these other all-pros and pro bowlers that are around him are going to be replaced by other players. If those other players, if it's Pearsall and Cowing, if it's Garendo, and if it's all the rest, Cameron Latu sticks his tight end, whoever those people are, if they're not as good as these people, then Brock's going to have to be even better than he has been.
Right, but what makes them great? Like,
the scheme.
I don't want to do this because it gets people.
It's chicken or the egg is what it is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can be like, hey, Brandon's got, or Brock's got great receivers. And then I could go right back and go, how and when did Brandon Ayuk become a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL? How'd that happen? Is it because Brandon's amazeballs?
That's because he's gotten better.
And?
Well, the quarterback that he had before, didn't he have 1,000 yards with Jimmy?
Don't think so. I mean, he had 1,000 yards 2 seasons ago, which was a blend.
It was a hybrid year.
It was a blend of all of them. But it was very much like his numbers were up with Brock. And then last year, they, you know, 1,300 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything is interconnected. And this is why when we have these conversations, sometimes it makes my head spin because, you know, what would Brock Purdy be doing without Shanahan? Or could you put X quarterback in the Shanahan system and, well, he'd be able to do what Brock Purdy's doing? And it's the kind of hypothetical that makes me sick to my stomach because it's unanswerable.
What would Brock Purdy do if he had no shoes?
Right.
What would happen?
What would Brock Purdy do if he was a Carolina Panther? Well, he probably wouldn't be top five in the MVP. Would he be better than the Panthers quarterback? Yes. But he probably would struggle because they stink.
Brandon Ayuk in 2022, before Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, Brandon Ayuk was on pace for 1,008 yards.
Okay, on pace for 1,008.
There you go.
He finished that season with 1,015. So essentially the same pace that year, but last year, as we know, 1,342 yards.
Yeah. I'd also be interested in Brandon's pace when it was Trey slash Jimmy, and then when it flipped to Brock. Like, what was the percentage of yards that were in those that last six-game block?
Oh, we're getting in the weeds now.
Yeah, we are. We are. But that's where we live sometimes. Anyway, we're sponsored by Floor & Decor, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
This used to mean it was 6 o'clock in the morning.
It better not be 6 in the morning right now.
Let's do that again. That was fun.
That was fun. I was just talking to somebody about that last night, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it was when we did our little lineup shuffle.
It was jacked up.
It was jacked up, and we did the morning show for a week. And I was just telling somebody, I'm like, yeah, we really liked it. Our body clocks fit it. But by Thursday night, I was like, I don't know what's happening. What is my body trying to tell me? Why does my head hurt like this? And the reason is because of what the guys were talking about earlier. I'm a no-napper. I'm a non-napper. No naps.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't like it. And I really don't like it when it's like, get under the covers nap.
Yeah, that's
like
a level four.
Yeah, the act.
There's four levels to napping.
Okay, what
and
is
I,
it?
As a 20-year morning host, you had to pick and choose. Like, there's the chair nap when, you know, you just fall asleep in your chair. That's usually about 5 to 10 minutes. Then there's the recline nap where maybe you're in your car and you recline all the way back, or you're at home in the recliner. Level three is couch. There's a couch and a blanket.
Is it accidental or purposeful?
Oh, it's purposeful.
See, that's
and then level four is what I call the bib nap.
Oh.
Back in bed.
Yeah, no.
You go back in bed, birthday suit, sound machine, and you're going to go 2 hours.
Those are so bad. No, because you wake up and you don't know what your name is.
Oh, yes.
You don't know where life started and when it ended. You don't know what day it is.
Am I hungry for lunch or is it dinner?
You don't know what's going on.
The bib nap.
And no, because you sit up in bed and freak out. Like, you always think you're missing work or... Yeah. Like, you don't know what the...
And you realize it's 1:17 in the afternoon.
You're sweating.
Oh, yeah.
The sun is pouring through. I hate that. That's actually my least favorite part.
The bib nap. Back in bed.
No.
Yeah.
And the car nap for me is if I got the migraine. You've watched me do those before.
Yeah, that's always weird.
Yeah.
And I walk up to the side and I look at I'm staring
like,
at you.
Like, why is he passed out in
totally.
His car?
Well, you told me like, hey, you know, I'll be in my car. Don't be alarmed. And so I like walked quietly up and I'm looking at you and I'm like, this is really weird. I'm just watching him sleep.
Drooling on myself.
He texts you, hey, Mark, I'm watching you sleep.
I can't do it.
It's a little creepy.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. Yeah,
it's a no. And then by the end of the week, everything is gone totally sideways. But anyway, yes, fun. Fun to do stuff in the morning every now and again. Hey, before we go, can we circle back to the start? And the whole show started today with you kind of being like, you know, Captain rubs some dirt on it. Like, why is everybody worried about Brock Purdy playing football without any of his friends? None of his friends came. He just had to go out there by himself and represent the 49ers all by his lonesome.
Yeah, they had 10 Pop Warner kids out there.
They did. And the other side of this, though, and I knew this would happen, which is too easy. It's like those of us who expressed that last night was odd, and it was, Brock Purdy playing in that game while all of the other big-name Niners sat was odd. We're going to get pinned into this spot of, like, worrying too much about football players playing football. It didn't worry me. I'm not mad at it. I'm simply making an observation that it struck me as odd. Matt Barrows came on with Steiny and Evan and seemed to agree.
It's a good question. I think in hindsight, maybe you don't play him. I just don't understand what they got out of it that was so productive. I feel like the risks outweigh any gains. But, you know, Purdy's point was that, you know, you practice all the time and you get into rhythms, but it's different in a game. And he was talking about the mental clock. And ironically, one of the things he wanted to work on was the mental clock about a pass rush and getting hit. I guess it was valuable in that regard. You know, my point is that, you know, he's going to play on Friday in Las Vegas, and he's going to play with a lot of the starters. Not every starter, but a lot more than played last night. So, to me, that was, you know, that's your warm-up.
Yeah, I that's where I'm at. I'm sure he's got his reasons, and everything worked out. And no, you cannot protect football players from getting hurt. You just can't. It just struck me as something that I have not seen any other football coach do, certainly not in the last handful of years, where it's become very en vogue to sit out the entire preseason when you're an established, very, very important player, but especially sending him out there while all of the other big name players sat. I can't recall anybody else doing that.
Yeah, I'd have to go through and look at the tape of every team that played this week. I was looking at C.J. Stroud, and he went out there and played a full quarter. He ended up playing about 19 offensive snaps in. I didn't see if they had their entire complement of dudes out there.
How does receivers? I mean, I can't speak on anybody's line, but
I don't really. it doesn't really bother me that he didn't have a lot of his receivers or any of his receivers out there. If the Niners and Shanahan and Brock Purdy thought that there was value in him going out there and playing 11 snaps and starting to feel the adrenaline, like Matt Barrow said in that cut, just, you know, the mental speed and, you know, getting into the rhythm of what a real game feels like, because it practice, and Brock actually spoke to this pass rush, but there's no sack, there's no fear of being hit in practice. So you do things differently when you know you're not going to get sacked. You can hold the ball a little longer, and
sure,
you know, there's not going to be contact. So I do think that there's great value in going out there at game speed, even if it's 11 snaps, and having the other team come at you and hit you a little bit.
I mean, but knowing that you're going to play again here in another 5 days and you're going to do it there, I mean, I've always asked this question, and people usually have some sort of an answer to it, but it still does head scratch me when people are kind of like, oh man, the preseason. First of all, there's the evaluation of players. And then second of all, game speed is different, and I agree with that, by the way, but like, you have to do that. You have to do that, and that way, you know, you're ready to go when the season starts. College football doesn't. They just play.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here. Let's play. Nobody gets up to game speed. Apparently, coaches are able to evaluate in other ways, whether it's spring games, whatever. Like
a lot of those games, though, those teams, you know, less so now because teams actually do pick good opponents, but a lot of those are just cupcakes.
Where some of them,
you go out there and you find a team that you should be able to beat into submission.
But that's because we're only looking at the big teams and games. Like, what about the team that is the cupcake? They're showing up to play Ohio State.
Yeah, to get a check.
But they didn't get a pre. And then most teams in America are just run of the mill. You know, what about Cal? Who does Cal play week one?
UC Davis.
Okay.
The traditional opener. These two UCs, they don't like each other.
Ron, it's not. You just told me that's not a cupcake game for Cal.
No, there is no cupcakes for Cal.
How are they going to get up to game speed? How are they going to be ready for this game?
Well, you scrimmage and you go at it in practice. And you got the same thing in high school.
So do
high school kids just go out week zero this weekend and you just play football.
So do that in the NFL.
You could, and you probably are going to get to that
point. Probably will, right?
When you get to 18 games, and I love the proposal, by the way, going to an 18-game schedule with two byes, which means it's a 20-week season, which pushes the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend, and what everybody's been clamoring for is the day after the Super Bowl to be a holiday.
A day off.
And it looks like when this eventually passes, that's going to be the new schedule, which would be great. I mean, it kind of drags into the middle of February, but I don't mind that at all. More football.
Go to March.
More football and a day off after the Super Bowl for most people.
Yeah.
That's what we all have been waiting for.
I have no problem if before we die, the Super Bowl is in May. Like, whatever. I don't care. Get rid of this stupid OTAs thing and just keep playing football. I know it's not realistic, but I think it's silly to think that the preseason is going to be around for generations to come. Nobody likes it.
Well, not nobody.
Nobody
likes
it.
The owners like it.
No, because they can turn those into regular season game checks.
Well, as it is now, you get, I think, 10 home games. So if you can promise them 10 home games,
sure, 20 game schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would it go from 17 to 18 and stop? It's going to 20.
Well, it depends on how many teams you're going to add and all the rest of it. If you're an owner, you would love to have 40 games and 20 home games.
I'm in.
You know? So I don't think that they're going to give up on preseason games. Even if they get a 20-game regular season, they're still going to want at least two preseasons as well, because that's more money for the owners.
What are you doing here in a minute, Grandy?
We're going to hear the debate that really has dominated today. Bonte and Shasta on the Morning Roast wondering why the hell Brock Purdy played three drives yesterday.
Why did he play?
Language, exactly.
Yeah, jeez.
Heck works.
Grandy is livid.
It got angry on the morning.
It did? Who was on? Oh, okay. I didn't hear them this morning. Who was on what side? Or were they on the same side?
You have to listen to find out.
Coming up. These two are teasing their
great tease.
They're teasing their donkeys off back there.
Whoa.
I couldn't say ass.
You just did. All right. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. An absolutely furious Mark Grandy is coming up around the corner. Would you like to do this again tomorrow?
It was fun today. I'll give it another day.
All right, we'll try it out. Let's see if we like it. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.